Hey everyone, this is Skylar. Thank you for joining us today for a very wonderful World Talkers winter holiday with the World Talkers. The intro today is very special and as such requires a disclaimer. This sketch was inspired by Evermore but is non-canonical and was entirely invented by us for our own enjoyment, and we hope you enjoy it as well. Happy holidays, everyone.
My, what a horrible storm. I'd hate to be caught out there. Better nestle up next to my fire and get nice and warm. My goodness, who could that be? Let me take a look through my window here. Oh my! It's my good friend, World Talker Chandler! Get in here, buddy. You'll freeze to death if you're out there much longer.
Golly gee! This Aurora portal sure has let in a draft.
You're telling me I nearly froze my toes getting back here. Come on over to my fire. The hearth is awfully inviting.
Sounds like a great plan to me, Dan. I could use some warmth.
What was that noise? There! Coming from the fireplace!
Ooh!
Is that who I think it is?
That's right, little buddy. It's our old friend!
Jeez, the set is full of OSHA violations.
Wyatt! And he's brought gifts!
Oh, yes, I have. I have something for you, Chandler, and for you, Daniel, and for... Where is Skylar? We can't have a very wonderful World Talkers winter holiday with the World Talkers without Skylar.
Maybe he's in his room.
Might as well check. Skylar? You in there, buddy?
Go away. I have editing to do for the holidays.
But Skylar... We won't be able to have a very wonderful World Talkers winter holiday with the World Talkers without you.
I swear, this every time I'm trying to do. Guys, I'm really busy. I don't have time for this.
Dude, follow the script. We worked hard on this. Come on.
Fine. All right. I'll do the sketch. This is gonna be a pain to edit, you know.
Let's try this again from my line, Skylar. Oh, yeah. You in there, buddy?
Oh, why, yes, I am. I had just been waiting for all my friends to arrive so we could spend this lovely Aurora Portalis holiday together.
Daniel, tell me the story of Aurora Portalis again. Please, please, please.
All right, I suppose I can do that for you. Just let me fetch my holiday tome.
It was many ages ago, on a night quite like this, that Aurorans found something rather amiss. They sang and they cheered, but their voices weren't jolly. There was something, somewhere, that was the cause of this folly. The grown-ups, they groaned, "We feel sad, this is strange, let's sleep this off," they bemoaned. With parents in bed, the children were free. They knew they could get to the bottom of this mystery. The tiny tots searched, and toddlers all scanned, but nothing was found, so they shouted a demand. "We dislike this sadness, we dislike it a lot. Someone please give us an answer," and then this they thought. "Perhaps it is not from Aurora that this sadness has come, but from other worlds through portals. I heard this could happen from my mum." They gathered their Everfrost into a great big pile, and they sat and they stared and waited quite a while. With a glow and a burst, light shot to the sky. A sight to this day makes all Aurorans cry. An Aurora Portalis, they called it that night. They saw through shimmers things weren't going all right. Tiny tots and toddlers, much like themselves, sat lonely and silent, no food on their shelves. "How dreadful, how dismal, other worlds need more joy. We know what to do, we have tools to employ." Conjuring magic, wild and brave, the light from the portal was given a mission by children. And it was to save So blessed and wise were Auroran children that night, as they saw that their magic produced much delight. In a place called Earth, where mankind became caring, their food, water, shelter, they gave, freely sharing. It was the cause of those children that calls us to remember, every month, especially December, that when lights seem dim and our voices go quiet, we have magic inside, and we ought to try it. Charity, love, and smiles often given will make light like portals that cannot be hidden. So this is the tale of Aurora Portalis, a time, yes, a season, to turn your heart to a palace. And with that, we invite you, our listener, to sit by our fire.
With holiday greetings and hope to inspire.
Rest and relax, restock your life shelves.
As we take a few moments to share with you ourselves.
Now a break from the verse. We promise that part is over. We just want to say thank you for all of your support and love that we have received since we started this podcast earlier this year. So from here, let's move on to the episode that we're making for you.
We want to share the holiday cheer with you by giving the gift of answering some of the questions about us we have received from you. It's been such a great honor to be able to talk about Evermore that we wanted to let you get to know us and also kind of talk amongst ourselves to get to know each other better, I suppose.
As our tale just told, we want to share the magic that is inside of us all. And a lot of you have reached out and wanted to get to know us better. And so we wanted to share that and share some of our interests, our loves with all of you, and hear what you wanted to hear about us.
Yeah, so buckle in. We think that y'all sent in quite a few questions, and we had a few things that we wanted to address just up top in terms of just setting the groundwork of who we are as individuals, how we really kind of got together as friends and so on, because that was a regular theme amongst a number of the questions that we saw. So, I mean, I suppose we can start it off with just kind of the basic things about us and our friend group. So with kind of this idea of the groundwork in store, let's just go ahead and jump over to Chandler to kind of introduce yourself, and we'll kind of work around and then chat about the friend group.
This is probably going to be a lot looser of an episode. I don't know how much structure there'll be, but hopefully that's enjoyable.
Yeah, like there, chances are there'll be quite a bit of crosstalk. So yeah. Enjoy hearing our ramblings.
Yeah. So hey, everyone. My name is Chandler. I am. Now nothing is interesting about me anymore. That's it. No, my name is Chandler. I grew up down in St. George, and that's not fully true. I grew up all over Utah. I moved a lot growing up, and so that helped me learn a lot of different things of how to have conversations with people and ask people questions, because if you're the new kid always, you're going to have to do something to get friends, right? And that for me was asking questions, which if you've spent time with me, you know that I automatically ask questions to get to know you.
None of that small talk. Chandler likes to cut right to the chase. What are your deepest fears? What do you desire in life? What messed you up as a child?
Yes. Hello.
What messed you up as a child? That's gotta be the most awful question. Like,
Hi, my name's Chandler. Let's talk about trauma. Let's talk about...
You have trauma. I have trauma. We all have trauma. Let's talk.
You guys joke, but I started the conversation.
Have you really?
And for me, talking and getting to know one another through questions has really been how I become friends with a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, realistically, no topic is out of bounds for me. I love talking about everything and anything, and that's how I become close with people. So don't be surprised if we are talking, if I ask you questions. For me, just to kind of allow you to get to know me a little bit, as I grew up, I also was in love with books and reading, and was quite the book nerd, but also some video games here and there, nothing too serious, but for me, my favorite growing up was Age of Empires, and that still is such a huge one for me. Love that one.
Chandler really loves games where you get to control people, every aspect of their lives, and whether they live or die.
He wants to dominate the world.
He does.
With
he does.
Strategy games.
Chandler comes like he on the surface. It's like, oh no, I'm very kind. I'm just getting to know you. What he's really learning is your weaknesses that he can exploit.
Tell me your trauma so I can ruin you.
much like a cult leader, Chandler. Chandler gets all of the dirt he can on somebody, so they can't betray him.
No, this is all in jest.
This is all false. Chandler's great.
Chandler is wonderful, and it's very important to have friends in your lives that are willing to ask you questions that will help you open up and be more of yourself and be vulnerable, so you can be your best self. So thank you, Chandler.
I do. Yeah, I actually say thank you there as well. It really helps our friendship and just a lot of people that we meet to. I think a lot of us have now become accustomed to the fact that we also don't like shallow friendships, I guess, is the way to put it.
Definitely.
We like to get to know people on a very personal level.
My influence is spreading.
Indeed it has.
He is conquering.
Yeah.
His little blip in the starting map of Age of Empires has expanded. He's gone from the Stone Age to the Iron Age, Bronze Age, whichever one it is. I don't know. He's rapidly expanding.
Yeah,
but all jokes aside, realistically, I love people, and I've always been around people, and just really people have helped me with my mental health. That's something that also, if you ever need someone to talk to, I personally struggle with a lot of mental health issues and sleep problems. So if you ever need a 4 a.m. conversation buddy, I am the one.
A lot of, and not even 4 a.m.
I was going to say at least 4 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, there's been occasions where I get up to leave for work at like 6 or 7 a.m. and Chandler's still awake. And I'll just be like, hey, how's it going? He's like, good. I'm going to head to bed. I'm like, cool. I'm going to go to work.
Sleep and time are just made up constructs.
Sleep is fake.
Sleep is fake.
As our good friend will say.
And I'm definitely working on those and trying to get healthy, but those are things that personally affect me. So for example, when TJ was talking about his whole background in mental health and everything, that actually personally like touched me, was that this is an important issue, and that is very much the case for me. So, yes, me in a nutshell, I like people, I love books and reading, movies, I'm actually a collector of board games as well, tabletop games, I have well over 100 there.
Fun fact, it dominates about half of our apartment, right, Sky?
Yes, and the other half is dominated by me and my book collection.
So they're great board games, and we love playing them. Yep. They're awesome.
I'm waiting for the day that Chandler, when you are self-sufficient, living on your own somewhere and in your own mansion from making money doing something crazy, that I'll come to your place, I'll go to your pantry and be like, oh look, here are some cups, that's Monopoly, because that that might as well be used as a plate, let's be real. And so just seeing the games all over the place. I believe it will happen.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You know I'm going to have some organization. It's going to look beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful.
There's going to be a board game room. Like, come on.
But there's a reason why Monopoly is going to be next to the plates, because, again, I dislike Monopoly. I would rather eat on it than play it.
I am right there with you.
I totally imagine like the Italian job where you have a mansion and then a room just for your shoes. It's a room just for your board games with a nice big felt table.
Oh, you know it.
Dice towers for every person.
I'm feeling like, do they do leather bound like board games, like embossed leather bound board games? That's what I picture
if
as
you
like
have
your
the money.
your fancy like living room.
I'm sure someone out there does, but I do not have the money yet, so I'm not sure. trying to think if there's anything kind of surface level that I can answer before we get into anything. Do you guys have any questions for me?
What's going on in your life professionally or educationally? What's going on with that? If you care to say.
Of course. Because of some financial things going on, I haven't been able to finish my degree in public relations yet. I'm kind of still paying off some loans and whatnot, but I am studying communication with an emphasis in public relations there and hoping to do something with that. As I've mentioned, communication and connections really are important to me, so that's what I want to do. Until I am able to finish, I am actually working with Target in their HR department, human resources. So, if you're ever at any Target store,
at any Target anywhere, Chandler is there.
I work in the back, so you won't be able, even if you did come to my particular Target, you wouldn't be able to see me. But yeah, that is where I'm at. So, any other questions?
I guess the fun one. What's one fun fact about you?
Ooh, I can turn my hands completely around.
Oh, that's right. I forget about your double jointed elbows.
I am double jointed, and I have weird elbows. And I can turn my arms completely around 360 degrees. Dan, you are looking at me
I have never seen this.
We're going to have to like post this on a story or something.
I'll post it if the people want it. So add us, bro. Add us and you'll get this.
Record it, but still add us. if we hit one at, we'll post it.
Show us what you got, Chan.
Okay, I need someone to.
My
elbows are really weird, so they're extremely.
Yeah, they're real. They're real bendy.
Yeah, let's get video or photos or something of this.
So when I raised my hand in school.
I'm recording you.
Oh, okay. When I raised my hand in school, it wasn't just a normal, like, hey. It was, hey, my arm is over here now. But yes, I can actually turn my... It helps if I have another hand, if you would.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, stop that.
And that is the really cool thing about me.
We just saw that. I'm going to have to post this.
I can also, it's been a while since I've actually done that. So, but as I stretch more and do it more, I can do it better without the use of my other hand. But I lived down in South America for 2 years and speak Spanish fluently. And so that helps me with my job and with communicating with people, and would love to learn another language. So hit me up if you know a language that I should learn.
Very cool.
Definitely. That's
very cool.
That's some very good stuff. I suppose.
Ooh, I'm a Ravenclaw also.
That is an important thing to know.
A popular question that has been being asked by us is what are our favorite fandoms? So maybe we can save that and we can just hit them all.
Oh yeah. That's going
to
be.
Tell them what we belong to, what we identify with.
We can do Hogwarts houses at the end of our self introductions here.
We'll do that.
Fit the theme. We will have a section later on that is just dedicated to pure fandoms.
Totally malevolent.
Sorry, just to clarify, also Ravenclaw and ENFP, if you with the Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Myers-Briggs.
Yeah. Yep. It's and as everyone knows, Myers-Briggs is basically astrology for people who've gone to college. I'm kidding.
When you say that around Chandler.
I'm kidding. I do quite enjoy the Myers-Briggs. It's cool. And astrology, if that's your thing, that's cool. I don't want to rag on that. I'm putting myself into a hole.
But, here's a shovel.
But here's the thing, though. Y'all are still going to love me, so it's okay, right? Because I love you. Hugs for everyone, and I'm sorry for everything.
So that's me. Someone else go. We'll get into more specifics.
Daniel needs to climb out.
Climb out of your hole, Daniel.
Yeah, I'll climb out of this hole. So yeah, so my name is Daniel, or Daniel Phipps, or Dan, or whatever.
Which do you prefer?
I've never really had a preference. I introduce myself as Daniel just because, like, hey, that's my name. But wherever anyone wants to run with it and take it, like, I'm cool with it. I've had the trend that I've seen is typically the longer I know someone, the shorter my name gets, or the more they actually avoid using my name and just call me other things.
We actually just call him D.
And it's... and you know...
Flower 13!
I'm not quite there yet. I call him Da.
Da.
I am just waiting for it to get just that first sound of the phonation. D.
D.
Hey, D. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm D. So I am D. And I was born out in Saudi Arabia. I lived out there for a while as a kid, bounced over to Virginia, where I lived till I was like 15, 16 or so as a teenager. And then I moved back to Saudi and I finished high school out there. Lived in Spain for about 2 years as well. So I also speak Spanish fluently like Chandler does. I suppose some more things about me. Growing up, there were a number of things that I really loved. I did dink around quite a bit with video games. I spent a lot of time in digital space, and I grew to deeply love Dungeons and Dragons, even though I never played like a legitimate game of it with like an actual group of people that all wanted me to be there until I was when I was like 20, because I played with my brother, and he was my oldest brother. He was really cool to invite me to some of his games sometimes, but I was like, I don't know if I think this is just like his way of being like, hey, let's get Daniel out of the house because he's being too much of a nerd at home. Let's get him being a nerd with people. That was a victory for him. I loved games, fantasy, things like that growing up. Loved watching movies and TV shows, especially those that had to deal with that or that had fantasy elements. I spent a lot of my time doing that. And I think just to like briefly address the mental health stuff that Chandler was talking about, I've also had some journeys with mental health issues, largely depression for me. And I think I sometimes healthily, sometimes a little unhealthily, I think I used fantasy and games and whatnot as a sort of escape. But happy to say that I'm healthy and grounded and feeling good today. So bonus points there. Other things that I loved growing up, I did a lot of theater. I loved musical theater. Can't sing to save my life, but I'm charismatic. So I use my charisma to guide my voice and not any kind of skill.
I would disagree. I think Dan has sang on a couple of occasions.
Thank you.
It is good.
Ooh. I appreciate your kindness.
Someone let in an angel? What is going on?
No, that's just Dan. It's Dan.
Are you kidding me right now?
I love you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's my voice, baby. Oh, thank you.
Smooth.
Like you. Like you much.
Microphones were not tuned for singing.
They
so
were not tuned
definitely
for singing.
Clipped there.
So I'm going to do this one a little more quietly. So I did a lot of musical theater where I goofed around, and I think that's when I really kind of started coming out of my shell a little bit more, because I always loved putting on basic little comedic performances for my friends. But I was like, wait, I can do this for hundreds of people. That's kind of cool. I'll do the theater thing. And a brief little story, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, please.
Sure.
I'll tell you the story of how I got into theater, which might make me look like a bad person, but I'll explain. But I will explain why I have become a better person for it. I was in eighth grade when I discovered that I really enjoyed theater. And it was because of this gal I'll just call her Amanda. I won't use her full name, but we'll say her name's Amanda. And Amanda was an incredibly intelligent girl, very, very smart, like top of the charts, like throughout the school. Everyone recognized her as like the brain of the school. Associates, some friends that I think ultimately weren't the best influences on me, but I wasn't the greatest influence on them either, because as an uncomfortable teenager that was very not comfortable with myself and who I was, and like I didn't feel like I had a strong connection to any attributes of myself that I looked positively upon, I lashed out and I picked on this girl. And so one day in my English class, where Amanda was in class, I was like, "Hey, Amanda, what do you like to do?" Because my intention was, and this is evil, I wanted to take that thing, put myself in it, and make it bad. Evil.
That is
I know
devious.
It's devious, and
that is
coming from the mind of an unhealthy child. I am better now.
Yeah, I was like, this is shocking.
Yeah,
like
no,
I would never
shocking.
Have expected.
Like no, if you know me, that's not me. Definitely not me. But sadly, it was at that time. And so I was like,
Did you have a crush on this girl?
I did not. I did not at all. I think honestly, I would say more so. I saw myself in Amanda, and so I wanted to pick on me without it being me, which is
super intense.
Yeah, I was like,
so much in there.
Chad's over here with his like questioning face,
fueling
like,
his trauma cannon
down.
Over here. Loading it up.
Like, no, here I have this little shovel. Let's dig. But
no, yeah, no, I'll keep giving you some trauma. So I go. She tells me that she loves the school's drama club, their theater club. And I was like, okay, when do y'all meet? She was like, actually, today, we were meeting until about like 4:30. So I was like, okay, cool. I immediately gather my buddies. I'm like, hey, text your parents. We're doing this thing. I'm going. You guys should come with me. And we go and we sit down and like we go through like some like basically just some like fun theater games. We do a little bit of improv. We do some like script reading. And I, the entire time, I'm not even thinking about Amanda. I'm just thinking, wow, this is actually ridiculously fun. I am enjoying myself. And then afterwards, I go to my friends like, okay, guys, so when are we coming back? When are we going back to the drama club? And they were like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Not really for me. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start going every time they do this because this is cool and I feel good doing it. And so I kept going. We did a musical, The Music Man, where I got the lead role and I have it still on DVD.
Wow.
And... goodness, I was awful. I was so awful. I watch it and I cringe so hard. Perhaps we'll put clips of it out there someday.
Donate to Patreon and you'll see the full thing.
That might actually be... Oh, it is so sad. But I will say this. It was... I became close friends, or at least... Maybe not close yet, but I became friends with Amanda, and I was like, goodness, this girl is really, really cool. She's, wickedly smart, brilliantly sharp, a fun actress, a cool person. And then a few years later, I was at a high school theater competition, who else was there but Amanda, who was going to another school at the time than the one I was at. And from like 100 yards off, like a football field away, that's what that is, like a football field away, I just hear, Daniel, Daniel. That's my voice for Amanda. And yeah, so she's out there waving me down and she's running towards me to come and give me a hug and to say hello. And I was like, my goodness, what a transition theater gave me, because one, I stopped hanging out with the mean friends that I was with at the beginning, like almost immediately, like they stopped being in my life and I started having healthy human relationships with people. And this person who had no reason to forgive me totally did. And
so she does know, or did you eventually told her?
Your original intention? I have not told her this story. She knew that like we would pick on her and whatnot.
Okay, so but, forgave you for the other things, not necessarily but, the intention. The,
right. Of and this but like she, no, yeah, like she like I owe so much of what I am to a weird decision to bully someone that was really just a reflection of me disliking myself and then coming to realize that I could love other people and myself. It was really quite an interesting transformation.
This is a wild story. You have the wildest stories.
Welcome to the fireplace, everyone.
I know. It's crickling, it's crackling. So that's kind of a story of how I got into theater. But I mean, and like how I think kind of got onto the trajectory of being a better person and being kind and caring about people.
Can I just say that I'm so glad you didn't actually end up like bullying this girl?
Oh, no, I am too. I wouldn't tell you the story if that was the case because that would be bad. This is a story that I hope lets people know that, hey, if you ever have done something mean to somebody else, if you ever have lashed out in an unhealthy way, it's possible to change and to be forgiven and to love people and to put those things behind you, because you certainly can, and you can build off of them and become a better human being, because that's what happened to me. In terms of other stuff, I don't know. What do y'all have any questions? I feel I've been talking for like 20 minutes.
No, I think that's like very interesting.
I only got one.
Yeah.
Same question to Chandler. What's going on in your life right now?
What's going on in my life right now? I just finished my degree.
Congrats.
The university in emergency services administration. Now, you might be wondering, Daniel, what are you going to do with that? That's a great question. my plan right now, I've been accepted to and will be going to the police academy at Utah Valley University starting in March of next year. So I'll be going on that journey. I'm going to be a cop. So that's kind of fun. I promise if I pull you over and if you listen to our podcast, I won't give you a ticket. I don't think I could actually do that, but I mean, I won't tell. yeah, so that's kind of the biggest thing that's going on in my life right now.
Very, very cool.
Oh, and I'm also a Ravenclaw.
Very fun.
Good to know.
But I would also say that if my story didn't indicate this, I have some Slytherin attributes. So I'm a Slytherclaw, a Ravenwren, whatever you want to say. Slytherclaw is the one, the top. Yes. Very good. Yeah.
A Ravenwren, since Ravenclaw's first. Ravenwren.
Oh, okay, fascinating. Okay, I am a Ravenwren.
Chamberlain knows. Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
Either way, I don't mind.
I'll go.
Do it.
My name's Wyatt.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Thank you. I also was raised in Southern Utah. I never bounced around. I was born and raised in the Red Desert. And it's a beautiful country. I really do love it.
Can I just say this something? Can you get to the trauma already? I'm kidding.
I'm literally talking. Like racking my brain. I'm like, what trauma can I bring up? I got to get real and I got to get real fast.
No, you're good. Keep going.
For me, growing up in that area brought a lot of fun things. Is a lot of fun desert, a lot of places to go. I played football. That was kind of my big thing. My dad was dying for a son who could play football because he had a son who could do soccer and he had a son who could do cross country and running. So he wanted a football son. I was the only son left and I love to eat. So he's like, hey, let's throw some pads on you and go out there and hit someone. And so I did football for the longest time. I actually really enjoyed it. I had a good time. I always had a gnawing thing at the back of my head that was kind of like, don't mess it up. So I always had this weird thing of I'd love to be in the practice, but I never loved to be in the game because I always thought I was going to mess it up for everybody else. And I remember my dad loves telling this story. And my dad, I love hearing the story about my dad because it just kind of, it showed the person that I was and the person that I was trying to become. One time I was at Little League football. I was really, really young, super young. And I was on the offensive line, which means you get up and you push people and you try and protect your quarterback. And or if you're on the defensive line, go get the quarterback. So I was on the offensive line trying to protect my quarterback, and I'm going through the motions, doing what a good football son should do. And I'm getting up and I'm doing my stuff, and it's a timeout or a touchdown or halftime or whatever. And my dad, this big guy, he played football too. He's a big guy. He played it in college. Comes stumbling down, and he comes down the field. He goes, "Wyatt, get over here." And he does the finger, and he goes, "Wyatt, get over here," with his index finger, not his middle finger, of course. He goes, "All right," and he brings it back and curls it back and says, get over here, Wyatt." And
I'm like, "Much like sure. Scorpion in Mortal Kombat."
Yeah. So he's like, "Get over here." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm kind of like sauntering over, having a jolly good time playing football, you know? And my dad pulls me over, and he kind of gets in my face. He grabs my face mask, and he kind of shakes my face, and he grabs my shoulder pads, and he gets in my face. And he says, "Yeah, you gotta have more energy, Wyatt. You gotta get out there. You gotta get mean. You gotta want to hurt people. You gotta get out there. You gotta tackle. You gotta get your blocks, and you gotta get angry, get mean." You know, my dad's trying to psych me up to try and play football good, and I'm like, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, Dad. Whatever. Okay." Like, just doing the hum-hawing, you know, I'm listening to him, but not really listening to him because I'm too worried that if I don't come back, I'm going to ruin the game for everybody else. So I'm like, "Okay, Dad, yeah, whatever, okay. And he goes, "You got it?" I'm like, yeah, I got it, Dad. And he goes, "All right, now get angry, get mean." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, bye, love you, Dad, love you. You're my tenderest, sweetest, hardest boy, Father, I love you." And I turn to leave. And my dad, there's obviously a worried expression on his face, right? My son just said, "I love you," after I told him to get angry. And he swears to this day that there was a person next to him, another grown adult, probably a father of his own child. He turns to my dad and he says, "Man, you need to get that boy a set of golf clubs." And
that is amazing.
It's a good story. I love it. It was only a couple years later, about sophomore year in high school, I decided maybe not football's the thing for me. I don't think I have the killer instinct. I have the size, and I've always had the size. I think I always will have the size. It's something that I deal with. But I just realized that football wasn't the thing for me, so I went to theater. And it was
I thought you were going to say golfing.
No, I didn't go to golfing. I'm a hooker. I can't do it. I always curve the ball to the left, which is called a hook. So when people ask me, I'm like, "I'm a hooker." I'm also 12.
Yep, that's a golf thing.
It's a golf thing.
It's not an anything else thing.
And so, I went to theater and I went to choir. And I started to do all the things that I had always saw my sister do and really appreciated her doing. I was like, "Oh, man, this would be so cool. Why not try it out?" So I'm like, "You know what? Why not?" And I talked to my dad, and he's like, "You know what? You do what you do want to do. You be happy." And it was a really good conversation with my dad. And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'm going to go out and do the things I want to do." And I fell in love with theater, and I fell in love with choir. I did choir a lot longer than I did theater. I liked theater. I did it in elementary school, believe it or not. We used to do Shakespeare plays. Now, for the first play, I was Petruchio in Taming of the Shrew. And I was like, "Oh, man, I'm pretty good at this." And then I was like, but football. And then back in high school, I got some more lead roles. I got to be in theater. That was a lot of fun. But what I found that I really, really was interested in, what was really, really fascinating to me, was technical theater. I took those technical theater classes. Just operating all things, the fly system, the audio system, the light system, all of it. It was really, really fun to me, more than theater, more than choir, more than football. And that was really kind of what got me into I wanted to create something, and I wanted to be a part of producing something and be a part of a production team. So whatever it was, I wanted to help make it happen, be a part of the show, not in the foreground because I worried I might screw it up, but in the background where I can be safe and be supportive and be helpful. And that's kind of what led me to now. I'm currently at school, going to graduate in April. I'm a communications major like Chandler. I'm in communication studies, which is a more general emphasis. I have kind of my toes dipped in every possible thing. So PR, advertising, broadcast journalism, kind of those areas. And right now my job, I'm actually in broadcasting. I help produce TV sports shows. So I get to use some of my old football stuff and get to tickle my dad's fancy sometimes, let him know that he still has a football son. And yeah, I mean, other than that, it's kind of my life. And I've enjoyed it so far. I like it.
Very, very cool.
It's very fun.
That is fun.
That is fun.
Yeah. I knew that you like knew sports. I never knew that you actually like really played football for a bit there.
I did till sophomore year in high school.
Nice.
Then it got serious and I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
my dad also wanted a son that could play football. He almost had one with my youngest brother, but on like the second week of like their summer like practices leading up to things, he stepped in a hole while they were doing some backpedaling, and he tore his ACL. Oh. So, to this day, no football sons for my father. So, sorry, Dad.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That is quite an interesting tale.
Yeah.
So, Wyatt, just before we move on, I know that you are a big fan of cooking. What are some of your favorite things to cook? What's your experience there?
Thank you. I did forget to mention that one of my favorite things to do in my spare time is to cook. Now, I'm not like an accomplished chef by any measure, but what I cook, I share, and I try and be helpful and generous to my roommates. But if it's bad, I don't share, and I don't even mention that I cooked anything. It's a fun time. My favorite thing to make is chicken and sausage gumbo, mostly because it's a dish that I personally enjoy, but also that my dad enjoys because he spent his service mission in Texas. And I served my service mission in Philadelphia, so I do enjoy a good cheesesteak from time to time. I am a steak snob. Got to make sure it's the right one, but yeah, I love cooking. I love food, of course. I love eating, of course, but I do like cooking. I love making stews, soups, most anything that just doesn't require a lot of hands-on, but is fun and can be something that I've made and can be proud of.
Excellent.
Very cool. What Hogwarts house are you?
The sorting hat would sort me as Gryffindor.
Right.
But I would ask it to change to Hufflepuff.
Because they are right next to the kitchens.
That's true. Also, just I identify as a Hufflepuff more. I do like being courageous, and I do think that the more complete whole version of me would be a Gryffindor, but who I am on the inside and who I consider myself to be would be Hufflepuff. Like loyal, helpful, generous, kind. I won when I was in elementary
brave,
school.
Brave, thrifty,
clean, reverent. A Boy Scout. Yeah. I did win an award in elementary school. We had like 12 values that our school loved. And then like at the end of every month, we'd have an assembly, or every 3 months, whatever it was, we'd have an assembly and we'd pick two students, a boy and a girl, for each value out of the whole school, who exemplified those values. I was chosen for caring.
Oh,
one year.
Very nice. Very nice.
I've been chosen thrice over the course of me in elementary school to high school for citizenship.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why or what that really entails.
What does this mean?
You're a dual citizen.
I'm not, actually.
You grew up in Saudi Arabia.
But one quick fun fact about Hufflepuffs is if somebody that's not in the house tries to get into their common rooms, they have a bunch of barrels right next to the door where they have to get in, and the barrels will open up and spray them with vinegar. How fun!
That is fun.
Oh, look at that.
Fun fact.
Did not know.
Yes, so if anybody ever tries to dig too deep, Wyatt, and you don't want them to,
spray them with vinegar.
Spray them with vinegar.
Yeah. Chandler, you here?
I'll be prepared for that.
And so I think that's everyone kidding. No, we have Skylar.
That's okay. I was often forgotten as a child.
No.
Ooh, that's drama.
I'm getting ready to drama.
No. I'm just kidding. Let's see. Where does it all begin? I am a middle child, so like, well, sort of. I don't know. I'm second born. But because my older brother is 4 years older than me, I technically take on characteristic traits of the firstborn and a middleist. So very interesting if you like study child psychology and stuff like that, which is something that I am interested in. Let's see, where do I begin? Let us start back into my childhood. So I guess my fun fact for myself too right here is that I am allergic to anything with fur or feathers. Yes, this means dogs. Yes, this means cats, yeah, birds, like pigs, whatever. Little piglets, not like big pigs, pigs, whatever. And even I am even allergic to hypoallergenic dogs. I am very allergic because I'm allergic to their saliva. Very interesting fun fact. Netflix has a documentary on dogs and they cover that. So watch that. It's fun.
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus. I am horribly wrong. I apologize.
How dare you?
So, yes, I am allergic to a vast variety of animals. And then even if I am not allergic to the animal, if they have fur or feathers, they contain so much dust that it aggravates my allergies in the exact same way. I'm allergic to a wide variety of plants and bushes and trees and like pollen, obviously. So I'm an inside boy. So a lot of the stuff that I did as a kid was inside. Like I was a Boy Scout. I did go camping and stuff, but I always hated it because I would have to take medications. And then another fun fact about me in regards to like allergy medications is that I am extremely susceptible to I don't know exactly what it is, but I pass out. Like, if I take a Benadryl, I'm out within 15 to 20 minutes. I will just be gone for like 18 hours. And then if I take normal meds, I pass out like an hour and a half after I take it. So I like to sleep a lot. I slept a lot as a child because I was on allergy meds trying to figure all this stuff out. And luckily I figured that out now. But I spent a lot of time inside, which means I love movies. I have an especially fond love for reading books. My parents would often, and my family in general, would often make fun of me because we'd be on vacation wherever it was, like, say, Disneyland. And I kid you not, this is not a joke. I would have one hand on my brother or sibling or parents or whoever in front of me as we walked around. And then I would have a book in the other one reading as we were walking place to place, because I just love reading so much. I guess some of my favorite authors, Brandon Sanderson is obviously my current favorite one. I've mentioned him a lot. Robert Jordan, Rick Riordan, Brandon Mole, a lot of the classic, YA young adult novels. I'm trying to think of something else that I love.
Pierce Brown.
Yes.
I got you hooked on that one.
Super good series.
So good.
Red Rising. That's what it is.
Yeah. Red Rising.
Like, I'm trying to think of the first book. So I really enjoy reading and escapism, as it were, because a lot of the way that I experience the outside world around me is through those mediums of like video games and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
And I also just love fantasy because of that. Like, I can't, like, because I can't go out and explore nature. It's never been really fun for me because I just either am drugged up or feel miserable from allergies. So I'm like, yeah, I dig fantasy because in a lot of fantasy, they get to go out and explore the world and meet cool creatures and stuff like that. And I can't really do that in real life without, you know, feeling real bad. My trauma is that I often tell people that I hate animals, but that's not the truth. I just have to tell that to myself so I don't feel sad all the time.
That is a very deep trauma, man. Animals are great, and I'm sorry, dude.
I know. What else? I did play football for quite a while as well.
If I remember right, you were more of a cross country boy.
I was not cross country, so that's the other thing.
He's a sprinty boy.
Track boy.
I'm a sprinty boy because I also have asthma.
Oh.
So oftentimes, if I would have an allergy attack, I'd then have an asthma attack, or I'd have an asthma attack and then an allergy attack. So they would like compound on each other. My parents are very protective over me for obvious reasons. When I was born, I just have a lot of body issues, I guess. When I was born, my dad was holding me, and then the nurse showed up and was like, hey, I'm gonna take him right now. Yeah, let's go. Bye. Because apparently I was suffocating. I had fluid in my lungs.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then the first night that I went home, that I was able to go home,
my parents woke up in the morning and had crickets all over me. They had a bug infestation. So just super, super wacky.
Super wacky.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I was removed. I was not born.
Oh, wow.
I am a C-section child.
Nice. Very fun. Very fun. I was the only pink baby in a sea of brown babies.
Because that was because Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am a preemie. I was in an incubator and was 5 weeks early.
Wow. Nice. I was like 2 weeks early, thereabouts. Yeah.
So that's why I need glasses and everything. My eyes didn't complete.
They didn't.
The cooking process.
I like to think that if I had stayed in for another 2 weeks, I'd be more beautiful.
But you are beautiful.
But I am beautiful.
How do you top
and I love
perfection?
Myself, right?
How do you top perfection, Daniel?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Yes. Shout praises to me. No. But yeah. Anything else for Skylar? Any questions that you
what
got for
is
him?
Going on in your life?
Well, I think on top of that, in I did theater as well in high school. I like track and football. I really especially love theater, which leads me to what is currently going on with my schooling situation, is that I like too many things, and I can't settle on stuff. I did concurrent enrollment in high school for like graphic arts and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a graphic artist. Graduated high school, started going into college, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. Let's switch to psychology because I really like psychology and sociology. So I started doing that, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. which leads me to my current point where I am in between semesters right now, currently paying off some old student loans, where I am still debating on what I want to be. I was thinking computer science, maybe.
You did build your own PC.
I did.
Which is a magnificent PC.
Thank you.
I was thoroughly impressed.
I love my computer. That's the other. Again, my equipment's got to be pretty good because I spend a lot of my time on the computer, on video games because I'm constantly using it. So I have 3 screens. I would like 10.
I'd want my room to be screens.
That's something I do. I play a lot of virtual reality for like fantasy games and stuff, and I enjoy that. So as far as what's going on, I'm just working, paying off debts, doing this podcast.
Yeah. And that is cool too.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Any questions for me specifically?
Problem is I know you, so I don't have any questions for you.
That's
fair. I kind of know everything I want.
I also grew up in Southern Utah. So Chandler, Wyatt, and I all went to high school together for a little bit there.
Maybe a good story right now.
Maybe we'll use this to segue into our next topic of how we actually met.
Yeah.
And how long we have been friends. Why don't you go ahead and start that story, Scott?
Okay. I want to start this one. Oh, first real quick, I'm a Slytherin because I'm super logical. Yes. And
you hate mudbloods.
That is not true.
Skylar is a very loving and caring individual.
Yes, thank you. Except for in this story. So in high school, Chandler and I met. We kind of had similar friends, similar friend groups. So we would often cross paths, but never like really hang out together because anytime we got together, we would just, for whatever it was, I think in a lot of ways we were too similar. And so we would just butt heads and we'd just be like, I don't like that guy. I don't like that Chandler guy.
I am the superior version.
We never gave each other the chance to get to know one another. So always butted heads and heard maybe some bad things from some kind of burnt friends and burnt
lovers.
That was me. Girlfriend broke up
The problem was that she lived right next to me.
Yeah,
she was my next door neighbor. So that,
is this the catalyst? Is a girl I dated?
maybe.
So
go ahead.
So yeah. So yeah. Chandler and I didn't get along very well. And it, for me, it culminated into one moment. I think it would be Chandler's senior year and my junior year of high school. I was just being dumb, like just making jokes. We had a super strict like policy at games and stuff, sportsmanship policies. That's what I was looking for. And you couldn't say anything negative, so we couldn't say boo, otherwise you get kicked out.
The reason for that is because we had had problems in our high school of people doing it excessively.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to get away from that for a short period. They have had, they put these sportsmanship policies in place.
Yeah.
And
Chandler was on the student body.
And I was on the student body council. And so I felt.
So was I. Hey,
that's a slave to the man.
That's where Wyatt and I really met and became close, is that we kind of served on this. But I felt it was my responsibility
to control the situation like somebody who is attempting to control the world, as if they were, as if high school was their own little Age of Empires game.
I can neither, and
Skylar was the enemy party.
I can neither confirm nor deny this, but I felt like it was my responsibility because we had just had a meeting with the faculty and they were like, hey, this is actually a really big deal. We could get in trouble with the kind of larger region. So we need your help. Please continue those.
Yeah, so I started yelling moo, as in a cow moos, and Chandler wasn't having it. He like turned around. He's like, hey, you need to stop. And then I was like, you know what? I'm my own man. I don't like you. You work for the man. So I said moo again. Chandler turns around and he punches me square in the chest.
The one and only time that I've ever been physical in my life.
I've never heard of this before. Yeah. This is wild.
Already I did not like Skylar.
Yeah.
Butted heads with him. Quite honestly, it's a very strong word, but I might have said that I hated him in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or even that whole year, but I did punch him, yes.
Yeah. It wasn't like super hard. It was a deterrent one, not like I want to harm you super hard. Like, it still hurt, obviously.
Right.
But that was the intent I felt out of it. What was your intention? Did you want to injure me?
No.
Maim me?
No.
Mortally. Well, mortally wound.
Here's what happened. He gave you asthma.
He punched you so hard.
He punched you. Got asthma.
To court.
Don't even joke about that.
Not only that, the punch was so hard that he gave him asthma in the past.
No. All I wanted to do was stop him from being dumb, and my anger at him came out, and I was just like, let me sock you in the chest, apparently.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was literally just that, like, stop being dumb. This is bigger than you realize. We could get in trouble. We had a really good sports section at our high school, and I quite enjoyed it.
We did.
And I didn't want anyone to ruin it. And of course, it was this kid, Skylar, who I already had bad feelings
hated
about
for years.
was going to do something about it. So.
My chest. I can't breathe. I have asthma now.
In the past.
This is Skylar, and I'm a child. What has happened?
Suddenly got asthma.
Why do I have asthma now? I was fine. I was enjoying the outdoors, and I was petting kittens.
But yeah. I mean, if I had to choose one person in high school that I really... It was just like I didn't even want to spend any time with him. It was Skylar. It was I didn't want to get to know him. I hated him from what I had heard. So it was like, I'm done.
Yeah, I felt the same way too. So like, I should have expected the reaction
right.
that I got. Cause I mean, I was being a butt. I was kind of trying to aggravate you a little bit. I think as we get around to it, we in regards to Wyatt too, I think this is kind of a part of the same story a little bit.
Yeah.
Is we, like, I didn't really move it. We moved in similar, like, social circles,
yep.
But we never, like, really hung out, like, one-on-one, I think.
I met Skylar at a party once or twice, and he was friends of my friend, so therefore he was a friend.
Yeah.
We never had any conversation. We never really talked until I came home from my service mission, and you came home. There was literally no one else around. I'm like, I'm going to go to Skylar's house and play computer games, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that was
a great time.
Yeah, I dug it. It was
and
really
then
fun.
I got good buddies with Chandler when we were on student council together, because the teacher who was teaching student council to us, we thoroughly disliked.
so we
bonded. She would show random videos that weren't even about leadership. It was just like, hey, here is me and my family on this TV game show. And it's like, oh, cool.
It was about taking charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But But realistically, like, Skylar and I went through high school and hating each other. Wyatt and I were good friends, but still weren't super close. But I, as we could say with anything, all it takes is time and really to allow us to grow up. How it kind of resolved is we all graduated. We went our separate ways for a couple of years. Some of us, or rather all of us, went on kind of religious service missions, and those were those 2 years. And we got back after those 2 years. I think realistically, I just saw you one day, Skylar, and I was like, and I just had forgotten every feeling of hatred that I had towards you.
Yep.
And
He was just like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, I mean, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, I guess I remember not liking you in high school, but I'm kind of indifferent now. I just attributed it to myself having not grown up some yet. Like,
I
was not good at communicating is what it was.
100% when I said hi to you, I did not remember not liking you. And it was just like, oh, there's a familiar face. From then we just started talking, and because of our mutual friends, we started hanging out and realizing that we had a lot in common. And then we decided to become roommates with one another. And then also with Wyatt, Wyatt was always around kind of playing games with us. And we also invited him to become a roommate and room with us. And then through that, and then we started kind of discovering some D&D things and getting more into it. We started looking for a group and to formalize a group that we could play D&D with.
And then that's how we happened upon Dan.
This is how I come into the story.
Tell us how two met.
Technically, I met Dan way earlier than that. So me and Dan both worked at a summer youth camp for religious teens. And we...
And potentially for non-religious teens. Technically, everyone was invited. Just mostly religious teens.
I met Dan while I was working. He had been working for 2 years previous. He had a little more experience on me than I had. It was my first year working, or my second year working. We both went to New York together for about two weeks.
Yeah.
And
or 3 weeks, really.
Yeah, it was three weeks.
Yeah.
We really got to know each other on the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't see each other that first week, but it was because we had to spend all 3 weeks together and with the other counselors that we really just got to know each other. Dan, my first impression of Dan was just like, man, this is a really friendly, great guy. You could always find Dan in the middle of a conversation with a bunch of people laughing. Just everyone having a really, really great time. And something that I envied. Because I got home. I mean, I started work and I was like, okay, I'm in work mode. I can't have fun while I'm working. And Dan taught me a lot about that. And was like, no, you can totally enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And I kind of loosened up. And I think that's probably your first impression of me.
I would say that I was like, yeah, man, Wyatt has a stick really far up his butt. I really enjoyed Wyatt. Like, he was you could tell from the exterior, like, here's a kind, gentle human being that I could feel very comfortable chatting with hours with, you know, just a good person. I didn't know him super well, but I don't know if you recall having this conversation.
Maybe not.
But I know we did, and this is how I knew you were into D&D.
I remember now.
I was walking by this open room, and my D&D alerts are always on in my head. If I hear anybody referencing anything vaguely related to it or role playing or whatever, and so I hear why it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna, yeah, but some of my friends and us, we play D&D, and immediately I step ball, change, turn around, chasse over to the room where they're at, and say, oh well, hi there, I just heard somebody talking about D&D, what's up? I'm in this conversation now. Hello, because that's the type of person I am. I just had probably a quick 2 minute chat really about D&D, and that was honestly about the extent
our relationship. We didn't really talk that much, but we had really good impressions of each other.
We had really good impressions of each other. We hung around some of the same people, and so occasionally we would be around one another while they were chatting, but we didn't chat too much. But I would say it was not that year, but the following.
Indeed.
That I get a call.
It was
in,
it was a text or a Facebook message. So no, here's what happened.
It was a text. It was a text.
So here what happened, I happened to get Daniel's real phone number, not his work phone number. I got his real phone number for some reason. I guess I did make a good impression.
I think I gave out both my work and real phone number to everybody in case they needed it. I was a health counselor. I'm an EMT. So I was there in New York because they need folks that are EMTs for summer camps. Just for state regulations. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
So I got his real number, and it was this time that me, Chandler, and Skylar were looking for D&D buddies because it was just us three, and we knew that we couldn't play with that few of a group. We wanted at least one more. And so we're looking around, and we're asking around, and we just don't have anyone we really trust. Like, we think about one person, we're like, oh, I don't know. We're not sure. Why? We don't know. And so,
take a chance on me.
So I was scrolling through my Facebook feed. I don't even remember the D&D conversation because it had been a year later. I didn't even remember.
No, yeah. It was scrolling through my feed, quickly in passing.
Scrolling through my feed, and Facebook popped up and said, hey, one of your friends is going to this event. And I'm like, oh, what event is this? And I click, and it's like tabletop board gaming at Dragon's Keep or some other like comic book store / play area. Right. And it's like, Daniel is going, or Daniel is interested. I'm like, Daniel Phipps? Oh, man, he's a good boy.
I would very much
like to play Dungeons and Dragons with that man. So I texted you out of the blue.
Yep.
I was not expecting a response at all, actually.
I
threw it out there and I said, hey, Sky Chan, dunno. But I texted an old buddy from 2 years ago that I haven't kept up with at all. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so again, take a chance on me. Thank you, ABBA. No, yeah, and so at that point in time in my life, like a little backstory of the playgroups I'd been a part of, I had been, since I was probably about like 20, I started getting my friends into D&D that were immediately around me because I was like, if I cannot find a playgroup, I'm going to make a playgroup.
just like the Grinch. If I cannot find a reindeer, I will just simply make one.
I will make one. No, yeah. So that is exactly what I did. I convinced all of my friends, hey, there's this awesome thing. You have to try it. And it turned into me having like the three different groups, some involving the same people, where I was playing D&D like probably 9 to 12 hours a week. And then when Wyatt reaches out to me is a time when I like didn't really have a group that was playing regularly anymore. And so going from just being flooded with D&D regularly throughout my week and having it being something to look forward to not having it at all, I was like, oh, yes, anything, anyone, please, I'll do it. Let me roll my dice and do stupid voices. Yes. It wasn't until like 2 months later
that we really started playing.
That we played once. And then it wasn't until about 3 months after that that we got together and started playing consistently.
Well, it was the idea that like we invited you in like October, didn't play till December, Christmas. We started it back up in February or January or something like that.
It was pretty wild. But like immediately from the get-go, kind of like my first impressions of you, I was like, oh no, this is a cool group of people. I like the way that they're going to play, which was very like role play heavy. They weren't going to get too bogged down in the mechanics because I was going to do that for myself anyways. So I was like, oh great, I don't have to worry about everyone else doing that for me as well. Sorry, because I did that for you sometimes.
It's very helpful because I am a lot more interested in a lot of the role playing aspects.
Right.
So yeah, I appreciate the rule
yeah,
keeping.
I mean, yeah. You fit in super well.
I can only agree that your personality and your gameplay, obviously we liked you enough to keep going.
I mean,
and as a result of those nights played together, we all kind of became friends with you as well.
Yeah, we just became, I think because of the grouping, we became pretty fast friends. And we are very grateful that you reached out on a whim.
I did. It was a whim.
And I think now we can all agree that I am the favorite friend. I'm everyone's favorite. I'm everyone's number one. I'm everyone's best. I'm right?
Yep.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's no one that tops me.
Guys, we need to have this talk.
I guess we're having the chat right now.
Dan, believe it or not, I want to kick you out.
No.
And the friendship just extended on. We would go to movies together. We jump into favorite fandoms together. Like everything just kind of. Well, Dan's just the fourth member of our friendship that we always needed, or was the extra person that we needed all along.
Yeah, I was always there in spirit. Yeah, and then eventually I showed up.
In reality.
In reality.
And our friend group has only expanded then.
Yeah.
It's been about 2 years since the creation of that and the formalization of kind of our friend group that we do a lot of things together, which include Evermore, which includes talking about movies, talking about all sorts of different fandoms and really getting into those, going and just having a good time. So we've really enjoyed each other and we look forward to a lot more years of being friends.
Yeah, it's very good. You guys help me extrovert. I'm very introverted because I spent so much time inside. I love people, but I don't know how to handle them. And so thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yes, of course, very good. Perfect. Well, I mean, I guess chatting a little bit about how our friend group has become strengthened as a result of Evermore, I think we can start things off by getting into the real bulk of what this episode was intended to be. We're well into this episode. So, I mean, who knows where the heft of it really is, but we want to answer some of the questions that you had. We've kind of broken them down vaguely as best we could into sort of like Evermore Park related questions, the non-Evermore questions, since we are in pretty much the Evermore based podcast.
Yeah.
And then also just a handful of rapid fire questions that we'll try to move through at the end. But yeah, so let's get started with those Evermore related questions.
So 4 in Evermore on Instagram asks, how did we first hear about Evermore?
I think that falls to me. I think I was the first one to hear about it.
I would say so. Skylar is responsible for getting us all in there. So we'll allow him to figure out or to tell us how he heard about Evermore.
Again, I'm an inside boy. I spend a lot of time on the computer and on my phone because that's just, again, how I learn about things. So I was just researching and doing my normal thing, and an ad popped up for like FanX.
Probably. Are you a wild nerd?
Yes, I am a wild nerd out in the wilderness. And I had been thinking about it for a while because I've never gone to a Comic-Con or fan convention because I don't know. I've always wanted to do that. And it was the first convention that I decided I would cosplay to. So I enjoy doing that when I can. But I heard about Evermore was sponsoring it. I'm like, what is this Evermore thing? Let's Google. I'm going to do a Google. So I Googled it and I was like, hey guys, this thing sounds pretty cool. Would you like to go to Comic-Con with me? Check out what Evermore is and what a fan convention is.
And we went, and it was wonderful and super fun. And then they Evermore sponsored the whole entire thing. And so it was really amazing. They actually put in a replica of the tavern that is now in Evermore. And you were able to walk through and meet some vampires. And
Suds was there.
Suds was there and some other people. But it was just kind of a, hey, come check this out.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
And then we went to their panel as well, and that was the first time we really learned about it. And we were like, still not sure what this is. Like we couldn't because as we've talked about and dedicated a whole podcast to, it's so unique. Like how do you describe it without having a lot of time?
It was literally that panel that inspired the podcast, because it's like, how could we describe it? Like what ways would we describe it? And that's the whole reason for this podcast, is like, well, let's figure out a way to give out the information that people want to know in a succinct and brief way.
So we went to that first, not the pre-opening party. None of us went to that, unfortunately, because we had just spent all of our money at the Comic-Con. But we did go to the opening day of Evermore. And after we went there, for me personally, I was in hook, line, and sinker. This was a place where I could go do all the fantasy stuff in my books, in my video games, in real life, and it was in a controlled environment, so I'm not going to, like, die from my allergies while going outside and doing it. So I was invested as soon as I got in there. I was like, this place is beautiful. I am talking to characters. I am going on adventures with my very good friends, and I love it.
Yeah, for me, it was exactly that. I really enjoyed the kind of puzzle and the asking questions to figure out the mystery. That's what got me into it, and that's what I fell in love with.
Yeah, and I think at least I as we're kind of talking about what we love about it, like briefly, I would say like it's like my first impressions was like, oh man, like this thing is LARPing. LARPing's weird. And then it was like, wait, no, I'm really enjoying this. No, LARPing is actually pretty dope. I think this is actually really fun. I need to explore more things about nerddom and like open up some more avenues to see awesome stories being told. And I think Evermore was kind of the first step into that world for me. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm moving on to the next question from World Walker Weekly on Instagram. We have a few questions from them that you'll hear from. Their first question is, what are our styles of world walking?
By styles, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, what roles do we take?
So, I mean, as we spoke, so Kirsten, one of our friends who's a part of World Walker Weekly, you can listen to their podcast. She was kind of... she kind of shared some of like her thoughts on what her style is, you know, sticking with the character, digging deep, collecting information. She's there for the info.
And if I'm not mistaken, I just remember that conversation. She also said that she really likes to theorize.
Yes.
And theory craft.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll sit down and theory craft for hours and hours and hours. So like in terms of when we go to the park, what are we playing? Like, what are we doing while we're there?
Oh, that's very interesting.
I might be able to have an answer here. I go for story. I do enjoy the story. I don't think I'm not very good at digging, and it's not something that I super enjoy. I don't want to stick with a character and just go down a rabbit hole. What I love about Evermore is the lore and the depth there and the possibility of depth. I really like going to lore and just comprehending. Like, some of the questions that I'll ask won't pertain to anything. Like, for really good example, just recently, just a couple nights ago, I just asked Vaela, like, what's Mythos like? What kind of system of government is in Mythos? That has nothing to do with the Aurora season nor any, probably has any pertinent consequences to the season or to Evermore itself, but having that kind of knowledge there and in place and for people to be able to respond to those kind of questions really excites me. So I guess my style of world walking is comprehension. I want to comprehend it, and I want to feel like this world exists and is real. And I gotta say, Evermore does that for me, and I think that's why I like it.
That's excellent.
I would say I am there as a I ask a ton of questions, and I specifically love looking at their individualized character backgrounds. I don't theory craft. That's not necessarily what I like to do, but I do want to get to know them as characters and learn what the actors have prepared that don't always come up. And I like to also solve kind of puzzles with that. So putting two... So trying to figure out where these character backstories come into place in the main story. That's what I enjoy.
I think I'm kind of similar in that regard too. I really enjoy the story. My experience at Evermore, I think for the majority of it, has been mostly passive. Because again, I love people and I love talking to people, but I have a hard time doing approaches or talking naturally because my brain just functions in a very matter of fact type thinking. So I usually tag along with one of these three and listen to what they're talking about. And I just like to connect the dots. So I'm not really good at like theory crafting, but I am pretty good, I think, at just listening and then connecting implications. So when there are implications between things, because we've gathered enough knowledge, we can deduce certain things because we know things about people. And I really enjoy doing that. One of the ones that is my favorite that happened was with Gudrun. We trapped her, specifically Chandler trapped her in her words, because I was like, I'm making these connections. Okay, this means this. Chandler, bring this up and we will trap her in her words and she will confess.
Yeah, that's something that Skylar and I, and you know, Skylar listens, and then I or Daniel or Wyatt will oftentimes vocalize what is needed to be said. And that's been such a great help for us. We've actually been complimented on how we get more out of if one person is talking and one person is watching.
Yeah,
and listening.
I get hardly anything when I talk to people. I enjoy it, and like I enjoy getting to know them, but I'm just like, I get lost in the conversation. They'll like mention something and then I'll be like, dot 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 dot. Hi, we're still talking, hello.
That's one thing I really love about both Skylar and Chandler is their attention to detail. They notice things in the conversation that's really, really important and pertinent. Makes for great styles of play.
Yeah. And then and then for me, it's kind of like Mad Sweeney in American Gods talking about fighting. I just do it for the pure thrill of it, to feel my blood rise like the sap in the springtime. It's really just kind of like for me, it is just coming from a place of pure enjoyment. You know, like I love seeing the story. I love interacting with the characters. I enjoy aspects of the theory crafting and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think my style of play, if it is one, is just to have fun.
Yeah.
Like when I go into the park, like some folks go in with a lot of clear objectives. I'm like, I'm gonna have fun. And typically
see
I have
where the wind takes me.
Yeah. And typically I have an excellent time when I do that exact thing.
Our next question is also from World Walker Weekly.
And also jointly from Miranda on yep. Facebook.
And they have asked us, what types of characters interest us most? Which are our best friends, most trusted, and why? You know, this one's very interesting for me because I don't have one particular person that I really connect with. I've said in the past that Grimey was a good friend of mine. We haven't seen him right now. But I have a lot of friendships with a lot of people, and I value those. I don't think I could personally pick one that I go to most often or that I enjoy the most time with.
Maybe I could direct this question to Daniel and say, why do you love Sephtis so much? Why do you trust him so much? What about him?
Right.
What about him makes you scream out, Sephtis, my good boy?
Sephtis, my good boy. You know, I would say the first time I interacted with Sephtis in the park, like it was an interaction with a character that, you know, like if you're reading a book and you hear about, you know, the character walks into a tavern and there's this seedy looking individual in the corner, their face is covered and they seem to be of indiscernible like moral status. I was like, oh, those characters are always central to the story. They're always really interesting. They bring a lot of fun to the story. And so I think literally walking into the tavern and seeing a seedy character standing in the corner, was like, there's something to this character that I really like already. And then another thing is, I think it was with Sephtis that I really played the game first. Was when I was like, oh, like here is Evermore now. I am in Evermore. I have to do Evermore. And Sephtis is the one that kind of gave me the beginner tutorial of how to do that without, you know, like
press A to jump. It was very real interactions, and it was just kind of a delightful thing. So I would say, like, in terms of the, like that kind of answers the question about Sefdis and why he's probably one of my favorites that's ever been in the park. But in terms of, like, the characters that I'm interested in the most, I think it comes down to a character that feels that they have more to offer than is just immediately on the surface. And I don't always speak to those characters, because I just don't have the best interactions with some of them sometimes. But those are the characters that I'm typically drawn to the most. Also, characters, I would say, like Gudrun, that are just wellsprings of information. Those characters I also love to talk to. Just the givers of lore, the sharers of secrets. I love those types of individuals.
I think that for me, it's kind of the same thing as Daniel. Like, people who obviously know more than they let on are interesting characters that I want to go and tackle and try and find. For me, one of my favorite characters and the one that intrigued me the most, but I unfortunately didn't really utilize the most often, was Rooster. I loved the silver tongue. I love his mannerisms. I loved the ability that he could have to sway me, be wishy-washy. I'm like, I just want to be this guy's best friend because he seems like so much fun. So that's the type of character that intrigues me. We've only seen one type of that character so far, I guess.
Like Ben, you could also potentially throw in there.
You could say Giardani as well, right? I do find a similar quality in Giardani where he's like very friendly, but obviously knows tons more than he lets on, right?
Definitely.
But I think out of the people I trust the most would probably be Gudrun. I trust Gudrun with all my heart. I actually voted for her for mayor because I didn't trust anybody else.
Nice. I think I'm along the same lines. Like, I don't really have a favorite character, or I guess there are types of characters. Again, the way my brain thinks is very matter-of-factly. I don't like unexpected things. Like, I enjoy them in a story sense, but like when interacting with people, I want conversations and like social interactions to happen in a specific way. So I really enjoy the Rangers and the Knights because they're very upfront and like honest with what they were doing, and their archetypes are very similar to me, that I can kind of expect what's going to come from them, and then I can dig into more interesting stuff there. So I like clear defined rules that allow me to understand the universe or worlds around me, which is why I started trying to build the like town charter of Evermore, is because I'm like, there's a lot of chaos here and it bugs me a lot, so let's try and create some rules.
So there you have it. Our most trusted people is, for the most part, all of Evermore.
Yeah,
we love them all. We do have
definitely
Dan and Wyatt, and you know, all of us. We've said that we love, may have loved certain ones, but all of Evermore is our favorite.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Riley 3 on Instagram asks, do we go in costume when we visit?
I would say for the most part, for most of us here, the answer is no. I've gone in costume twice.
I've gone once.
You've gone once. But I think it's mainly Skylar that goes dressed up.
Yeah, almost every single time I go, the times I haven't gone in costume is typically when I'm just getting to the park like right after work and don't have time to change.
Right.
But if I have the time, which is most of the time, I like to get dressed up and I like to go in costume because it helps me get outside myself. Helps me socialize and feel confident in who I am.
Not only that, but you are a cosplayer and have enjoyed those skills that come with creating a costume.
I guess, yeah, moderately. I'm a beginner cosplayer.
You had 3 different cosplays for this year's FanX. You are a cosplayer.
Well, okay, fine.
None of this beginning. You literally sewed your own Ash Ketchum cosplay.
I mean, I made alterations. I didn't sew it. I didn't sew it from scratch.
You sewed it from scratch.
But I mean, for me, just a quick note, I have no problem going in costume. I just have no money to do so.
I would love to go in costume.
So it's not necessarily anything personal. I just don't think we've made that jump yet.
Yeah.
Those of us have not gone.
For me, the level of detail that Skylar puts in, and I appreciate, I'm not knocking
I just had a quick little follow-up thing. Continue.
The amount of detail that Skylar puts in, I can really appreciate. And if I were to be in cosplay and do a costume, I'd want it to be that same level. But I have yet to put in the time, effort, or thought into looking into those avenues.
Totally agree right there.
Gathering the money, making the decisions for me. It's like, if there was an option for someone to be like, hey, here's this fully tailored and awesome cosplay for, I don't know, $250, $300, I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy it off you, sure.
And so I guess just kind of a quick question for those that would like want to go in costume, like amongst us here, what type of a costume would you want in the first place? What kind of a character would you
like
want to bring to Evermore?
I've told you guys this character so many times. We love this character. I want to be the banker of Evermore. I wouldn't have a name. I would be the bank or the banker. I'd have a tuxedo vest with a white shirt, a tuxedo shirt, and then a big long black cloak. Maybe a nice top hat and a monocle. I don't know. But the idea would be is that I'd look like
the Peanut Man.
Indeed. with a cloak.
Or Monopoly. Yeah, yeah. Monopoly Man.
Or the Monopoly dude.
But the idea would be that we would then acquire as much gold, silver, Everfrost, jewels, coins, whatever was the currency at that time. This was kind of an early concept character. And then hand out and make loans. And have interest and debt. And it would be a lot of fun. We've always messed around with it, but I have yet to commit. And now that everyone's got a banking system, I don't know if I'll ever commit. But who knows?
You could be an independent loan officer.
I could. It'd be fun. And then my next character that I would make, if it wasn't the banker, it would be a cowboy. But now that we have
Drake
in there, I don't know if I could ever match that level.
Whatever you want to be.
Drake just looks so good.
You could be more of a cowboy than Drake's ever been.
Come in with chewing tobacco and spit all over Evermore. I carry a spittoon so I can make it ring.
We wish. I spit it.
Yeah.
Keep it clean. That's my rules. That's myself. I'm like, you will not tarnish. You will not tarnish. That's my
How dare you? Chan, what are your characters if you were to cosplay?
And it's okay if you don't have any. It's okay because that people spend a lot of time thinking about that type of a thing. I just kind of quickly threw that out.
Yeah, for me, if I were to go, it would be literally me in a costume. It wouldn't be me as a character. For some reason that feels like it would interrupt my game style, just because I would then have to be focused on what my character would do or something of that nature.
And you're really good at staying loyal to your character choices. A great D&D thing that Chandler does. He once played a 13-year-old girl.
Yes.
And was very true to the character choices. And it was something that as a DM, I really loved.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
And so it would be even hard for me to, I don't know. It's just not something that it's ever been really interesting to me to go into the park as someone else. That being said, if I were to dress up, I think it would be really cool, and this is part of the reason why I haven't done it, is to go full-blown cyberpunk.
Definitely.
There's so many options out there, but I think that's one reason why I've never done it is simply because I don't have the financial means to do so, but I don't know.
Yeah, sure. No, that's totally chill. I've pieced together like bits of things that like I felt had some minimal Viking aesthetic. I think if I were to continue my costume that is in its definite infancy, I think I would continue building in the vein of a more of a Nordic style of character. And if you do get the chance to go to Aurora this season, the Wolves of Winter, that's basically like that is something that I want. They're so cool. But yeah, You can see.
Moving on to the next question. Craziest thing you've ever done in / out of park from Michael on Facebook.
Start a podcast. Start a podcast about this park because it's been a wild journey. I would say like that's, I think for all of us, it was something that we've wanted to kind of dip our toes into. Mm-hmm. And then we realized very quickly that if we wanted to do it well, we couldn't just dip our toes. We'd have to do a full on dive. And so, yeah, I think at least that is my answer to the question is what we're doing now.
100% agree there.
My craziest thing that I've done, and I will say in park, would be to save my own head. That was like the first night we met the CD character in the corner, and he's like, "I'm gonna take your head." I'm like, "Oh,
I bet it." Yeah, away. After you bet it,
but oh, this place is for real. Like, I might actually lose my. And I was so invested, so caught up in the fantasy that it for me was the craziest thing. That the very first night, I could have lost my head, and I was like, "Well, that's crazy." And it's left such an impact on me that, of course, I love going to the park and having those similar experiences.
I think in park, the craziest thing I've ever done is, I think I'm pretty tame in park, to be honest.
I think we all are.
If you don't have one, I will choose one for you.
I was about to say with the Jakul and Iona thing.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah. I think orchestrating that was probably be like, I guess the craziest thing. It was really fun. I think it was kind of off the wall a lot. And then I guess in real life, the craziest thing I've ever done is I worked at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, which is a pretty intense snowboarding and skiing mountain. And I did a little bit of a out of bounds snowboarding, and it is scary for me. I really enjoy snowboarding and hitting them jumps. It's kind of the crazy. It's about as crazy as I get.
Yeah.
Nice.
I am not a crazy guy. I do not do crazy things in real life. I am pretty tame, but I would totally agree with Dan. This whole process of creating the podcast has been extremely enjoyable and fulfilling in ways that I didn't even know. And I quite enjoy, and I'm really excited to keep going. That being said, also from Facebook comes the question from Melissa. She says, what is the best change in the park in the last year? A great, great question.
Fantastic question. Also, super difficult. There's a lot of crap that's changed in the past year.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll go. I think for me, the best thing that they've done was just, I think obviously just changing and training actors to better handle the type of like flow that they want. I really appreciate the time and effort put in there to make the characters and the adventuring or questing or what have you, the structure in general has just improved since the beginning. Just over time, it has kept getting better and better, and made it easier to remember and to talk to people and to feel as if like things are flowing more naturally. There's a lot less confusion that happens, at least for me, in regards to where I need to go next. It's more of just a puzzle thing rather than everyone seems confused thing.
And I would say to build off of that, I think the thing that I've seen as one of the best things that's happened for the park in the past year is, and it is thanks to some of this, but I think the way that the park feels paced, like overall, it just in terms of like I'm able to walk from point A to point B and almost be guaranteed X number of character interactions. And then as well with that, I would say the way that the pacing of the story's delivery has also like vastly improved. I would say that like, at least with some of our experiences during Aurora and Mythos, in at least Aurora last year, 2018, and Mythos this year, there were some weeks where I went where I was like, it was a good day, I had fun, but I didn't feel like I had necessarily picked up on anything crazy new that felt like it was really pushing a plot along. But I would say like ever since like lore and like this Aurora, I felt as though like there's been a clearer consistency with which it's like, okay, like I can trust that I can go every night and there will be story beats for me to pick up on that feel like they're meaningfully going somewhere. And not that it wasn't ever meaningfully going anywhere before. It's just that I feel it more clearly now.
I think that goes along with just the training and
yeah,
the actors
yeah.
getting used and, to how this
and,
works.
And also I'm getting more used to yeah, how it's supposed
definitely.
To work. And I'm picking up more clearly on, oh, this is where I should be looking for more story. Because certainly I was not seeing everything in every other season. I was just with my limited experience and my limited window of like expertise.
In my opinion, Evermore's best change that they've made since their inception, since their opening rather, has been them not double casting any longer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that.
Absolutely.
No, that is a great one.
That was
a very
frustrating thing of that you would come into the park, that you would be interacting with this character, but because there were two different people playing the character, you actually had no semblance of continuity where from night to night, you could actually play off of past interactions with them because it was literally a different person. Even though, so you would be like, hey, remember that one thing that you told me? And they'd be like, no. And so that, in my opinion, is the best change that they've made, is the no double casting.
That actually is a really brilliant point to bring up. Like that was a like made a marked change, in yeah. my opinion, in terms of the quality of experiences in the park, where like really truly you felt like you were interacting with a real character and yeah. not just, oh, like Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. Who knows who's going to be in that costume from day to day? They could have multiple people there. That Mickey Mouse isn't going to remember me regardless of how much I want them to. But now you have this very real personal connection with an actual individual that is that character. So that's a great point.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of already been said. I don't really have anything extra to say. Just park structure, really, that's it. It's just they organize themselves better, they came to understand themselves better, and the park became better because they got organized, because they started to formulate, started to kind of know their brand, know what they're doing, and the park just grew because of it. Better training, better acting. Paved roads was a big thing. That was huge. We loved
roads.
That.
Paved roads.
The merchandise finally opened up and we got to buy a lot of that. Just the park getting to know itself has been the biggest change. And I think that's all that's, for me, that's all it needs to
say. Bringing that up, I'll jump back in there. I love the merchandise. The merchandise is just getting better and better. And I can't keep up. It makes me sad. I try to, and I try to save up, but I'm just like, I want to buy it. I want to buy every little thing.
I want to say that the people that are behind their merchandise are actively like, how can we ruin Skylar? how could we mess with him?
We will financially tank him with all of the stuff. And I mean, they're doing a pretty good job. And I suppose one of those big things now that it's especially going to ruin me is the announcement of Realms, a card building game for Evermore that looks...
It is a trading card game.
I'm gonna lose it.
That you play the heroes of Evermore, these amazing characters that you have come to know and love. You get to play them out on the battlefield and bring the other characters you know and love to help them out. And it looks gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
and will financially ruin us.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally destroy
yeah.
us.
Yeah,
and also. Give us the actual spellings for all the characters' name.
Oh yeah, so
if that's not the biggest change over this past mm-hmm. year, that's the greatest yeah. one right there.
And when we say financially ruin, obviously it is our choice. We want it.
Yeah.
We want
oh, yeah.
to do it because it's so beautiful. And as detailed in our YouTube video, and
go check that out. We'll be making YouTube videos about Realms and stuff so mm-hmm. that you can look at it.
Yeah. So check those out. You will notice as we talk about it, that we are super excited about it. So go check that out. Learn how to play. Play with us. Battle us. Whatever.
World Talkers on YouTube.
How about you give me your metas, because your boy is not very good at game strategy.
I'm a pointer and shooter.
I'm not a strategist.
And like legit, if you see us in the park and you do have a Realms deck, if we're not doing anything too crazy and you want to sit down and duke it out over cards, I am more than happy to play. I think I'll be bringing my deck every time I go.
We should just set like a tournament date. Ooh. We should do a tournament.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Listeners, do you think we should do a tournament?
Let us know.
I think the answer is going to be yes, but yeah. Go ahead and let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Just as a caveat to that, if we do say that we are a little bit busy and we can't play, that is not personal to you. It's just we do have some things that we're trying to get
done. There's so much story. It's so hard sometimes. Yeah. We'll just have to set a dedicated day, and then even then it'll have to be a non-Evermore day. It's the only way I can handle it, because I can't spend that much time away from characters and story plots. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
Or just find me. I'll probably just be down to play. Just find Dan. So I think that. I think we have just one last question.
And I actually think
Evermore block.
I think it actually goes very well with Realms, because the whole premise of that is that you are able to play and have the characters by your side.
Yes.
So bringing that from Realms now to the podcast, Evermore Adventurous wants to know if we could pull in an Evermore character out of the park and into the podcast, who would we want to join?
I mean, Gudrun is my first choice. She knows everything.
She's
fun. She's giggly. It'd be perfect.
I was thinking that, like, along those same lines. Yes.
I would definitely take Gudrun. I think Ollie would also be incredibly fun. Anyone of the Bard's Guild would be.
Yeah, Piper would be great.
Yes. That'd be just as a kind of charismatic.
A fun personality to have on. Yes.
I want to throw in Faldo, and I want to bring him in just because it would be so interesting. It'd be such a wacky podcast, you know? We'd be talking all about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. That'd be really good. There's a lot. When I read this question first, I interpreted it as
who would come in and replace us?
Yeah, who would be the hosts?
Ooh, okay.
Oh, so we need a cast of four cast individuals. Of four?
Yes, and I can start with mine. The person that I think would be like a really good host for entertainment content ideas would be Cleo. I think Cleo would be
excellent.
Because she has a beautiful singing voice. She's very talented with music. She's super funny and like very interesting to talk to. Plus she gets in on that gossip. So like you get ever more gossip. Like there's just so many. I think she would fit really well the archetype.
You know what? Maybe we just build our dream team between the four of us.
One of us picks one.
Our dream podcast team.
So one is Cleo.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to pick two as Sykes.
Ooh.
The man who knows all, the man who is very informative, has lots of trade experience, but also from a logistics standpoint could analyze the park really, really well, in my opinion.
And I totally approve of both of those choices. Let's see. My heart wants to say Sephtis, but I don't know how good he'd be doing on that being super personable and relatable though. You know, which you kind of got to do. So I think I am going to I'm gonna say Kadarin is going to be my choice.
Yeah.
Great one.
So someone also wealth of information, and just I don't know. There's something to what I think photos of the hosts can do for a podcast.
I think there's
a certain draw there.
Yeah.
No, but I think he would be an excellent person to have on the podcast. Yeah. Thanks, TJ. Listen to our interview.
You'd keep everyone focused on what we need to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already said her, but I really would love Gudrun.
Yeah.
Totally.
And if you didn't say her, I would say the fifth member would be Gudrun.
Yeah, I want Gudrun in there just because she can she is funny and enjoyable to talk to, but also she has this wealth of information that she is bringing in and speculation as well. She's from her readings of kind of the historical books, she speculated here and there of what things actually are happening. So I think she could definitely be a valuable podcast host.
That's a good team of four. Yeah, like, I'm not too mad at
this
that.
This one's pretty hard.
Like, yeah. I would love to see what you think.
Yeah.
Let us know what would be the dream team of podcasters from Evermore Park, and or who do you think should join us on the podcast, like as a permanent member,
yeah,
if that was ever allowed. It probably never would be, but who I would mean, you want to see
I mean that
the,
could be
podcast?
That could be interviews, like who yeah, yeah, you want to hear from the most.
Totally
super interesting question.
Write
great
in
question
to our Gmail at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com or do it on Instagram or wherever. Just we want to hear from you.
Sweet. So now on to some non-Evermore related things, because we do have lives and interests outside of Evermore. What is your favorite holiday tradition? And that comes from Mary98 on our Discord.
Join our Discord.
Yeah, for me, it's making Pfeffernuss, which are these like German cookies with my mom.
Cool.
They're super yummy. They look like little bread loaves. I like them.
I make, it's similar food. I make a Shepherd Chex Mix. It's not Muddy Buddies, but it's actual Chex Mix. My family devours them. I devour them. I always tend to get Chex Mix stuck in the glass of our oven when I bake them. So if you go to my house, which I don't think you ever would, but there is some rice Chex stuck in the glass as a memento to my cooking.
I think my favorite tradition would just be watching Christmas movies. And probably my all-time favorite Christmas movie is Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Great. Arnold, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Fantastic.
I want to be Turbo Man. That is my dream. That is like my ultimate cosplay that I would love to do.
Dude, I was actually thinking like earlier today, I need to watch Jingle All the Way. So let's do that, please.
Yeah, we can watch it later.
Die Hard.
Yeah,
I'm down. Great Christmas movie. Die Hard's also a great Christmas movie.
Chad is shaking his head.
All right, everyone. The very, very important question of sock then pants or pants then socks. From Jonathan on Facebook.
You're a sociopath if you put, what was I going to say?
Socks than pants?
Yeah, socks than pants. Yeah, that's, yeah, you're a sociopath if you put your socks on then your pants on. That's strange to me. I mean, unless you were already wearing the socks earlier. I mean, it's okay. It depends.
I will say that 99.9% of the time it should be
pants than socks.
Then socks. But I will say that 0.01% of the time, sometimes it's just nice to have just socks on.
Just socks.
Yeah, no pants, just socks. And you're just kind of like, you know what? This is freeing in a way that you would never, ever have.
And then, if you need
bound
pants,
by society.
If you need pants, you have the option.
You have the option to put them on, but you'd be breaking the cardinal rule of pants and socks.
So do you
socks would already
sock
be on.
Then shoe, sock then shoe, or do you do...
Whoa! Yo, that's going like full blown. I'm about like that's...
Or do you do sock, sock, shoe, shoe?
Yeah, sock, sock, shoe, shoe. Are you insane? Sock, then shoe?
Hey,
that's
no shame out there to anyone who does.
You gotta do it at least once.
I'm sock shaming. If you go ahead and at me I don't believe that is a regular thing. Maybe I need to expand my horizons, and I'm sorry if that is the case.
Have you tried sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Why would I do that?
Just like socks, pants.
It'll be like, have you tried putting some chocolate syrup into your mac and cheese? It's supposed to be incredibly savory and sweet. No.
I'm saying there's no harm in just going against society for just a moment. The 0.01% of the time. Doesn't have to be 99, but I will say, if you don't try at least once in your life, you'll never know what you're missing out on. And it could be a terrible experience, or it could be weirdly satisfying.
Ignorance is bliss.
I think I'll say I do pants and then socks the majority of the time. Yeah. If I'm snowboarding, it's socks and then pants because of just how my layering works.
Not true, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. That is okay.
Same part of the same question. When you tuck your shirt in, do you go for a full tuck, a French tuck,
which is
or an untuck?
The French tuck is like a half tuck. You do like basically like the front
in the front,
and then you leave the back untucked. But I mean, I suppose that does depend on the shirt that I am wearing.
And circumstance, I would say. Why are you dressing up? If it's like for religious services, I do full
or formal tuck, or like formal business.
A full. But I do quite enjoy the French tuck. I
don't think I've ever done a French tuck in my life. Not once.
I kind of do the front roll where I make a man bra.
That's typically
how I wear my shirts.
Now related to our
that was by Jonathan, by the way. I don't think we mentioned that. Jonathan on Facebook.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Good. I mean, great question.
I go full untucked. That's what I do.
Full untuck every time.
Yep.
Now a question that was related to our Patreon exclusive episode. We talked about My Hero Academia. This question is from Giselle, and she asks, if we could have one quirk superpower, what would it be, and what would your superhero name be? So first and foremost, if you are not caught up or if you don't know what My Hero Academia is, check out our online exclusive episode there for our Patreon users. But yeah, what would your quirk or superpower be, and what would your name be?
For me, this is a superpower that I have always found super interesting that I think would fit well in the world of My Hero Academia. And it is one that I saw years ago on the show Heroes, which was somebody had the ability to replicate anything that they've seen as if like was like perfect muscle memory, essentially. Ooh. Is they are able to see it and then perfectly replicate it.
All I'm going to say, Heroes is wonderful. For the most part, kind of. But that was such a fantastic character and power. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, no, I thought it was...
quickly died and...
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
Spoilers, but yeah, it was really sad. I loved the concept of the power, and I would love to see it explored further in other things. So I think that would be my power if I was...
It was basically she was able to watch anything on YouTube and then replicate it.
And replicate it in real life, right? So it's like I could perfectly learn how to play songs on piano and be a total beast there. Or like I personally love watching Bruce Lee movies. So oh man, if I could replicate his quickness, his like and like massive burst potential and the stuff he was doing. Oh man, I would love that. But in terms of a superhero name, this is where it's hard for me. Can we come back to me? Can we do just the powers and names? Yeah.
Super speed. I like the Flash. I wouldn't be for the Flash. My name would probably be like Speed Boy. I don't know what my name would be. It'd probably be something stupid like that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. Let's right now, off the top of my brain, Quick Fox. That's it.
Quick Fox.
That's my superhero name on super speed.
My superhero power that I would think would fit well as a quirk in regards to My Hero Academia. This is one I had when I was a really young child, and that would be that as my superpower, I could interact with radio waves. Like FM radio type waves or audio waves that are transmitted over long distances. For whatever reason, I just thought that would be cool to be able to like use that as like a way to like fly or walk in the sky. I think it would be fun. Then you could like create I guess not barriers, but just the mobility. I think it would be kind of interesting to play with.
That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I do have a name, I guess. It's just always been my like gamer tag and gamer handle
Radio Shack.
That would be very good. No, it's just because it would be Sky Deceiver. Yeah, I really just enjoy that name.
That is also his Twitch handle. If y'all want to watch Skyler's stream,
I have not twitched in a long time,
but he will be now.
I've always enjoyed the idea of like a Professor X kind of reading minds and communicating through mind telepathy and everything. That would be
nice.
That'd be mine.
And your name?
Telepath.
Telepath.
Ooh, give me something better. Come on. Off the top of your head. Mine was Quick Fox. Come on.
Childhood trauma discoverer.
Trauma bomb.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Trauma bomb.
Trauma bomb.
Trauma bomb.
His ultimate power is to reveal a person's deepest, darkest secret.
Yeah, I've always really enjoyed that. I like it. Getting into my backstory, I've always felt safe and secure in a relationship if truth can be had there. And I think that's also where the power comes from. It's like, that is one reason why I want to be able to read minds and communicate, is to feel safe and secure in a friendship. So, mm-hmm.
I have decided on my name now. My quirk's name, as all the quirks have a name, in My Hero Academia, would be Monkey See Monkey Do.
Ooh.
And my superhero name would be Monkey Do.
Monkey Do.
Monkey Do.
I dig that. Kind of another one from Strawberry Sloth 26 on Instagram. A favorite character to play. I'm interpreting this as like character archetype, as in D&D or video games.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind went to as well. My favorite one to play is the Sorcerer class. One of my favorite characters that I've played. I played on a podcast, believe it or not, called The Role Playing Guys. I played Martin, the Sorcerer, who was a balding 50-year-old man, a failing father, an alcoholic. And he didn't know he was a sorcerer, so he stumbled upon his powers. And he was a flame sorcerer, and he's a lot of fun. One of my favorite characters ever.
I think personally for me, some of my favorite like archetypal characters are like just kind of I really like going for the spellcasters. Like that's typically what I end up playing, just because I like the fantastical abilities of them. You know, like fighters are cool, barbarians are fun. I've loved playing characters like that, but I don't know. Love them fireball boys.
Yeah. I also go for the magics.
Or girls.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. The persons.
The persons.
The magic or, persons. Yes.
Any individual that casts spells. I love them.
I also really enjoy magic users, but I also enjoy thievery and sneaking as a rogue, rather. Yeah, because that's a rule I would never break in real life. It drives me crazy to break laws, break rules. So I fulfill that fantasy through video games by robbing everyone all over Skyrim. There's not a single thing that is not stolen by me.
Every cheese wheel is in his house, categorized.
So magic rogues.
I'm actually drawn to religious types. So things that have a higher power that call out to them, that make them want to do better, do something. So I would say a paladin or a cleric is typically what I get drawn to.
Dig that. Dig
clerics
that.
Are fun.
Also, another one related to our latest Patreon episode, Anything Goes, in regards to My Hero Academia and the character All Might, who would win in a fight, Daniel or All Might?
Who would encourage it? Who would try to stop it?
And that one is from Shadow Paragon.
I am a black belt. If that does anything for anyone, I'm a black belt. I will win. I think I've got a chance here.
All Might in his weakened form, with all of his knowledge, Daniel up against that? Yes. If Daniel had his powers, with his quirk that he chooses, against All Might, I actually think that'd be a really interesting matchup.
Very interesting
anything
matchup.
Anything you see. I could replicate.
Ooh. And I would watch a lot of footage of All Might.
Do you replicate his strength?
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Is that a part of your power?
Yeah, it's a part of my power now. it's a part of my power now.
It's a part of my power now. I'd love to see it.
It's so broken.
Well, here's the thing is that fight would be interesting because you'd have to have it done to you first before you could replicate it. So you'd have to be able to withstand a United States of Smash before delivering a United States of Smash.
But he's a hero, so he won't kill you.
He won't kill me. And also, All Might is such a public figure.
I have watched countless videos of his, I'm sure.
Okay.
True.
What, I mean, I can watch the videos of those that have defended against him successfully. Ooh, baby, baby.
I would not encourage this fight.
I would stop it as well.
I love All Might and I love Dan. I do not want to see them fighting.
Yes, I would also stop it because you would die.
I would encourage it.
Next, from Captain Obvious on Instagram. If your life was turned into a movie, what genre would it be and who would play you?
I'm ready to go.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mine would be a hero's journey. Mine would be one where a boy is given an adventure, learns something on the adventure, and then comes back a more wholesome man. And the person who plays me would be Adam Devine.
Ooh, that would be fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
I have also thought about this one a little bit as well. I think I have three people in mind because I like their sense of comedy, which I think is what my genre would be, is comedy. And it would either be Deadpool, not Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool himself.
Yes.
Because I have a very morbid sense of humor. and that fits, I think. Joseph Gordon-Levitt or sure. Ryan Gosling. I think nice. They have a similar comedy that I think would be humorous in my life.
I love that.
It's kind of a sometimes the version of comedy that they do is like a deadpan comedy. That I like that one in specific, that type of comedy from them.
Yeah.
Chandler?
I got nothing. I don't know. My life would be turned into a journey. I don't know.
To the center of the earth with Brendan Fraser.
Ooh, Brendan Fraser.
I could actually see Chandler.
Brendan Fraser plays you. What is he playing in?
I mean, he doesn't have to, you can choose, but
I think Brendan Fraser would be perfect for Chandler.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because of kind of my whole things with my mental health and whatnot, I don't want to say a drama and like sadness, but I would say a drama that ends up as like this very fulfilling, inspiring tale, hopefully. Not saying that I'm there yet, but and I honestly don't know who I would have play me. I don't follow actors enough to even know. I'm not sure.
I would, let's see. So I would do for my genre, it would be a romantic comedy.
Nice.
That involves me, falling in love with a clone of myself. but each part of myself has a different conscience. So it would be me, Daniel, playing myself, but my conscience would be different for each version of myself.
Oh, that's fun.
For one of me, my conscience would be played by Dave Chappelle. And then for the other piece of me, my conscience would be played by Fred Rogers. So I would have the comedic genius and the wholesome heart of these two great individuals, and they would guide me towards a deeper love of me.
I love this. There you go. That works
fantastically.
So, I mean, Hollywood, if you want, I can like credit that. I won't say that I already have the screenplay written up, but I mean, it's possible.
But if you ask for it, it would be, I could email it over.
I could ship that over. Postmates it.
From Mary98 as well.
On our Discord.
Worst prank pulled, or perhaps just pulled on you if you don't do pranks.
I've got one.
Go for it.
I'm just ready. I've got these in my head. The worst prank I ever pulled, this is one that I did with my brother. It was April Fool's Day. I was young. My brother was older. And so he came up with the idea, but I was the target. I was the main thing of the goal. And so he didn't tell me this, actually. I participated in this prank unknowingly. He was like, hey, let's go jump on the tramp, because we have an outdoor trampoline that's elevated above ground. He goes, let's go jump on the tramp. So we did, and I thought we were just having fun, but he was intentionally trying to bounce me high and make me hit the railing. He's trying to bounce me behind that high, make me hit the railing, make me hit the railing. Finally, he just pushed me into the railing. I got a little bump on my head, and I started crying, and he's like, perfect. And so he ran me upstairs, and he put ketchup in my hair, and he went to my mom, and he said, Wyatt bumped his head, and he's bleeding all over the place. And my mom started freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh, what? And she's like, get in the car. And then my brother, before she got in the car, before anything really happened, like, took ketchup and brushed her arm, and she found out it was ketchup and got pissed at the both of us. I was so young, I didn't know what was happening, and I realized pranks aren't fun for anybody.
Also teaches you to smell your children's wounds.
Indeed, indeed.
You never know when they will be ketchup.
Oh, man.
I myself am not a prankster. I do not enjoy them, either being pulled on me or pulling them, so... I do not have an answer on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose for me, if you would call this a prank, some buddies of mine in high school, it was before I left back from Virginia to Saudi Arabia. They made a cardboard cutout of a vehicle, just a random vehicle, and we walked it over and we walked through a Starbucks drive-through and picked up drinks in a fake car while we were wearing like next to no clothes. I think we were all wearing bathing suits or something.
Excellent.
It was a silly time.
Okay. I have a couple that I can think of. I think craziest or like worst. Is that what it was? Worst.
I don't really have any worst, honestly.
I guess worst that I can think of is, this was probably the most malicious one, I suppose, would be I had some friends in apartment, and they were gone for the day. We knew they were going to be gone, so we broke into their apartment, and me and this other friend fused a walkie-talkie receiver to their doorbell alarm so that wherever we were, we could ring their doorbell with a remote. It was quite fun.
Jeez,
we would torment them with it.
That's terrible.
That's great.
I'm not quite sure how to say this next.
From Rinya Randeray on Instagram.
Ooh, nice.
They asked the question, do we dance or make money moves? And for me, I read this and I thought, there is no difference for this for me. All of my dance moves are money moves. When I shake it, girl, you know I'm going to make it.
Dan and Skylar are actually fantastic dancers.
Oh, thank you very much.
I appreciate
very
that.
Well done. And Wyatt, I don't think I've actually personally seen you dancing.
I dance, Dan, testify.
It's extremely violent. it's very aggressive, very in your face.
I'm gonna punch you in the chest.
I dance if I want to. I leave my friends behind, because if they don't dance, and if they don't dance,
but
then
they
they're
no friends of mine.
They're no friends of mine. Actually, it was part of our job requirement as summer youth counselor for religious teens that we would dance frequently.
Yeah.
So you made money with moves.
I did make money with moves.
Yeah.
And I just kind of whip my body about. No style, no but nothing.
Think car salesman. Airman.
Inflatable flailing arm tube.
Literally don't know what I'm doing. I'm just having a good time.
I'm just kidding. You dance great, Chad.
In fact, I'm pretty sure we have some video or picture or something out there of us dancing.
I don't know. Do we?
We skip. We have a skipping one of us.
We did skip.
And we kind of did. We did the animation of us posing.
We might have to make one.
Because we did.
No, Skylar dances. He danced with Jasper.
Oh, I did. We did.
That's on our Instagram. Yes. That's legitimate there.
Jumping forward a few questions, somebody does ask, just because this goes along with this, also from Shadow Paragon on the Discord, if we have any favorite or silly dance moves that we like to do.
I am extremely proficient in dancing nonsense, which means white man dancing, I guess, is what it would be referred to.
Sure.
Just weird, jerky movements that don't make sense.
That And those are some of the best movements.
They're very fun. I find it very fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have a one particular favorite dance move, but I mean, I will say this: we're about to get into fandoms here in a second. One of my biggest fandoms in general is just the whole K-pop scene.
Yep.
So I mean, I could point anyone to at least like a dozen videos of K-pop performances that are loaded with dance moves that I think are just pure fire, baby. Like just so much fun. I think for me, dance is most enjoyable when like the movement itself looks as though it is bringing the person doing it joy. I don't know. I don't know if I have one singular favorite dance move there, but
So moving on, I suppose, fandoms.
Fandoms.
Let's talk about fandoms. Top three. Let's do top three. That way we don't move. That way we don't sit here and talk forever.
Because we are in
so
many.
We will go forever.
Yeah,
we are in a lot.
Assume that one of us is in one of them.
Anime, board games, movies,
video games.
Video games.
Literally.
Book series.
Yeah,
book series. We do a lot. RPG games.
We cover the array of them all. But top three, go ahead.
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Ooh.
Okay, yep, that's one.
That's one.
That's one for
that's
you.
One. The Halo franchise.
Very good.
Excellent, excellent.
Xbox game Halo. And then my third and final would probably be the Pierce Brown novels, Red Rising. Those are great. And of course, I have way tons more, but those are the three I'm gonna yell right now.
Excellent.
Cool. I'm going to go with book series. Favorite franchise is The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, which is also the first book, A Way of Kings, is how a lot of people know it. Second, movie, my all-time favorite movie, fandom, Speed Racer.
Ooh, yes.
I love Speed Racer. I think it's a fantastic movie. And then video games. Let's go video games. I think all-time favorite game. Oh, geez. Why did I do this to myself? I actually think I'm going to go with Star Wars Bounty Hunter on the GameCube.
Oh, nice, dude. Yeah. We've chatted a little bit about that these past few weeks.
I super dig that. It's either that or Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, because it was kind of that time in my life when I was getting super into video games, and that's when that came out.
Wind Waker was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. My top three, or rather three in no particular order that I have chosen, because there's so many. I'm a huge fan of the Percy Jackson world creation, all of it.
Yeah. Riordan sagas.
Exactly.
It's super good.
Obviously love Harry Potter. That'd be number two. And then actually I love the 100 that can be, that you can watch on Netflix and is fantastic there. Those are probably my three: Percy Jackson, Harry Potter, and the 100.
Good gravy. There's a lot. I mean, like, I'm gonna throw out some like ones that might be not obvious ones, because like I'm into a lot of the basic nerd things. So I'm gonna say I'm a huge fan of H.P. Lovecraft. Those things dealing with eldritch horrors and arcane secrets. Let's see as well. Big fan of films directed by or involving Guillermo del Toro. And then
I'm with you on this one. There's so many. It's so hard to choose, because as everyone says something, I'm like, yes, that one.
Yes, that one as well. and then lastly, I'm going to say Champions of Norrath games released to PlayStation 2, which were excellent.
That's very good.
Those would be my three, if we could consider all of those.
I appreciate the obscurity. I know that you love more general things. I was expecting you to say Lord of the Rings.
I mean, obviously.
But that's obvious.
Super obvious.
I didn't want to just like throw that out, because like, of course, like that's like,
okay, so my Harry Potter.
No, that's good.
No, it's good. It's good.
No,
it's good.
I think we need to recognize both, right? Like,
I'm just going to say, like, anybody who spends like any significant, anybody who spends 5 minutes with me knows that like The Lord of the Rings, I absolutely love it.
Of course.
And so I mean, like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll skip it for this one. But yes, now that it's out there, I absolutely love it.
If you ever want to know if we're a part of a fandom, please feel free to message us. More than likely one of us is, and we would love to chat with you about it.
Yeah. And we've had some great fandom discussions in the Discord.
Yeah.
And evangelize to us why you think we should join up with other fandoms, because we're always interested in learning more about what's out there.
Would absolutely love that.
And then let's see, I think, do we have, good
gravy. I think we're kind of onto the rapid fire. The last ones here as we get close to closing out.
So first off, are we bronies?
No.
But I have watched a documentary about bronies and I really enjoyed it. It was, I actually highly recommend it. Gave me some great insights.
And I just never watched it. So
yeah, it doesn't really intrigue me.
There's a great documentary out there. I think everyone should watch it. It's
excellent.
Very fun.
Excellent.
Favorite Disney movie?
Tangled.
I'm going to say The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Rapid fire.
Oh, I'm really bad at this. Inside Out.
Hercules.
Oh, great.
Ooh,
Hercules
very good.
Is mine.
Very good.
Favorite Pokemon?
Eevee.
This is such a difficult question. Come back to me.
You have me at a disadvantage because I never was into Pokemon, nor will I ever be, unfortunately.
Pikachu. You say Pikachu.
I would say the entire evolution series of Mudkip.
Gosh dang it, that's exactly what I was going to choose.
No way, I love that.
If not Mudkip, Cyndaquil.
Nice. Yeah. Also Sudowoodo's dope.
Oh, gosh dang it. There's so many good Pokemon. I love them all.
Let's see. A fantasy story that has always drawn us in since we were children.
Children fantasy story.
As in like a true children's story or like...
Just any fantasy.
Any fantasy story that has always drawn us in since we're children. I'm going to say The Chronicles of Narnia.
Ooh, that's good.
Harry Potter for me.
Toy Story?
Yeah, I say that works.
Toy Story.
Absolutely.
Toy Story. I got potty trained on Toy Story.
Nice. I dig that.
No, it can't be poo.
Oh, my word.
Keep going.
Daniel, go.
No, you go.
It's me.
I already said it.
Since I was a kid, I guess I'll go, I'm going to have to do the Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time?
That explains so much about you.
Since you were a kid, you were drawn in by books that were 900 pages long.
Dude, I kid you not, like, since I can remember, even in, like, fifth grade, whenever I took reading tests, I would always register back as like college reading. So
and same skis, but I was still like, I want to read picture books.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Next one up from Vibeheck on Instagram: is it do we think it's likely that more characters are going to die at Evermore? I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes,
absolutely.
We obviously don't know who. That's our speculation, or if this is even something that they would do. But I think, yes, that's something that they could do.
And then from Mason Atlas on Insta, they say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey,
hello.
Mason.
Howdy.
And then from my sister, she asks, when are you coming to New York to visit your sister and family? I don't know. I'm sorry, but I love you and I care about you. I hope you're doing well. To my nephews, I think you're excellent little guys and you're growing. And I think there's a world of experience out there that I'm happy for you to go and explore. And I'm proud to be called your uncle. And I'm proud to be your brother, Julia and Cody. I think you are an excellent addition to our family. And I love you guys.
Also, I'll be visiting next week, so you'll see me, even though Dan won't be coming.
Yeah. So if you can get the couch ready.
I'll make my grad trip to New York, so I will also see you.
Oh, fantastic. All of you go prepare them for my grand
prepare
arrival.
Prepare the way for the coming of Daniel.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. That was pretty much all of the questions we had and that we had time for and that we felt, you know... Who knows what editing this down is going to look like, because we have, at least as it stands right now, about 2.5 hours?
2 hours and 40 minutes.
2 hours and 40 minutes worth of content. So if it is not that amount when you see it pop up on your podcast feed, which it won't be, know that it isn't because we didn't like a question that was asked. It was just that for your own sanity... We had to make some changes.
And literal file sizes. I can only upload a certain amount of file size, and I can finagle that a little bit, but eventually if the file size is too large, it won't upload to Apple servers. So,
yeah.
But if you like what we are doing, we may do another episode like this to talk about more things. Let us... And also, we're kind of playing around with some more ideas of making another podcast out there and talking about other things that are not Evermore related.
Yeah, and definitely catch stuff like this on our Patreon exclusive podcast, Anything Goes, where we talk about anything, everything, and anything
that you recommend.
And if you want to support us there so that you can put out your recommendations, just at the $10 tier, you're eligible to give us something to go research and check out, and we are going to do an episode on it.
Yeah.
We'll throw it onto the list of things that we want to chat about on there.
And we just wanted to say thank you again for all of those who donated to our Patreon, and especially thanks to our executive producer, Aileen, or Evermore for Kids.
If you'd like to donate and become a patron to us, check us out, www.patreon.com/worldtalkers.
Absolutely. And obviously, we don't want to push that very much. This is for us to... We wanted to make this episode to tell you how much we love you. Seriously, this journey so far has just been amazing, and we appreciate everyone that has been able to listen and help us out to get to this point, and we wanted to make this episode because a lot of you have been wanting to get to know more about us, and we hope you enjoy our holiday special.
And can I just say as well, you know, we asked and answered a lot of questions today, and like, we legitimately want to hear your thoughts as well about these things, and we want to interact with you and hear from you, and we don't often get to hear as much as we'd like about you know, things outside of Evermore from those that listen to the podcast. So if any of these questions were particularly interesting to you, like, go ahead and write us and let us know what your thoughts were on, like, what superpowers you would want, or whatever stood out to you. We love you, this podcast, although it's us hosting and we talk about Evermore, it's about you. So just remember that this fantastic holiday season, you know, like, our podcast is aimed to be a gift to you personally, because, you know, you make this possible, because without you, there would be no purpose for it. So thank you for being out there, and thank you for listening.
And with that, we want to wish you a happy holiday, whatever you are celebrating. We hope it's Aurora Portalis, the fake holiday that we created at the beginning of this episode. But again, thank you for listening. We really, really do appreciate everything that this community is and does for us. We feel your love every single time that we sit down and record. Please follow us at World Talkers on our Instagram and our Twitter and our Facebook. But more importantly, please follow The Park at evermore.com or their Instagram account at Evermore Park or at Evermore Creative Studio.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, as Dan said, you can email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. We're constantly looking out for emails, so send those in. We'd love to hear from you.
And just before our final send-off, we wanted to say thank you once again. It has been so wonderful to answer all of your questions, and we appreciate all of the love and support, and we hope you very much enjoyed this episode of A Very Wonderful World Talkers Winter Holiday with the World Talkers.
And with that, I fear we must break our promise and return to the verse.
Now you know far too much about us, for better or worse.
At the very least, we hope we gave you a laugh and a chortle.
Our listeners, our friends, will be seeing you
beyond the portal.